start now Perek Mefanin of Yirtz Hashem, and we're going to talk about different Yisurim Durabanan on Shabbos. Sometimes it's also because it's similar to Malacha. Sometimes the Chacham will be Matir an Yisur Durabanan for the sake of Kavod Shabbos or for a Fua L'tzarech Mitzvah. So the Mishnah tells us Mefanin. Now first we're going to deal with the issue of Tircha B'Shabbos, and under what conditions did the Torah allow Tircha? Because the Torah tells us in Parshas Ki Tisa, Ubayom HaShvi Tishbos, and Tircha comes under a Shvus D'Rabbanan because of Tishbos. The Torah doesn't want us to upset Tishbos. And our Mishnah is going to teach us that even in situations where there's no Yisur Tiltil, if it's not Muktza, let's say it's something that's edible and so forth, but nevertheless we should worry about Tircha. And the Chachamim are going to be Matir Tircha L'Tzarech Mitzvah. So what he has is a storage house with kupos, and he's going to have to do some amount of work if he needs that area because he has guests and he wants to feed his guests. So the Mishnah allows him mefanim afilu arba chamesh kupos shel tevin v'shel tfua. So he has these kupos, and we're not sure if they're large barrels or smaller barrels. And he's moving around boxes of grains, of straw, mipnei orchim, either in one case because of guests, he needs the makom, he needs the place for guests. These boxes are taking up space that he needs for guests. He wants to invite them for a meal. Or alternatively, mipnei bito beis hamedrash, he needs place for his talmidim to sit down so they can hear the drasha. And we're not going to worry about tircha as long as he's moving these boxes l'tzarech mitzvah, and it's only four or five boxes. Now, what we're going to check out in the sugya is, could it be more than four or five boxes if he has a greater need? The Mishnah says, avalo es ha'otzar, and he's not allowed to clear out his storage house of all these boxes of straw or grains. He's got to leave something left inside his storage house as opposed to clearing it out completely. And this has to do with the Iser of Ashriye Gumos, which we'll get to Mirz Hashem in the Gemara. Mefanin Truma Tahora. Now, we're going to have a list of foods that are mutter, and therefore there's no Iser Mukta. One is Truma Tahora, so he can, let's say, feed Truma to a Kohen, or in certain cases, if it's not edible to a person, he can feed it to his animals. I mean the animals of a Kohen. Karshide Truma, which is called Machal Behema. Again, if you have something like chitim that's royal adam, it's fit for human consumption, then we're not allowed to feed it to the animal. Udmai. Dmai is food that you buy from an amaretz. You're not sure if he was mafish maser. You're not allowed to eat it until you're mafish maser. But yet, you're allowed to be metaltal it. There's no isur mukts. It's still roy. And the Gemara is going to say that's roy laniyim. That aniyim, poor people, are allowed to eat Dmai. Maserisha nitla trumaso. So you gave maserisha to the Levi. He already was mafish's trumas maser. And at this point, the ochel, the machel, is heter gomur. The Gemara is going to ask, what's the chiddush here? And the Mishnah goes on and mentions maser sheni v'egdish niftu. So maser sheni, which is given on the third and sixth years of the Shemitah cycle, has to be brought to Yerushalayim, or alternatively, he is poded outside Yerushalayim. He brings the money to Yerushalayim, which now he's transferred the Kedusha from the Maaser Sheni grains over to the Mos. But the Maaser Sheni now is no longer Osir, meaning Maaser Sheni, you're not allowed to eat it, Lo Sucha Lecha B'Sharecha, but now he was poded. So again, the Mishnah seems to be almost redundant or unnecessary, superfluous. Vaturmus hayovish. So these are kinds of legumes that are very, very bitter, that are called turmus. Not sure if we know the English term. I think it's called a lupine. But anyway, it's a type of a bean, and it's not mukta. Why not? You can feed it to the goats. Avalo, now we get to the mukta issue in foodstuffs that are asur. For example, it's a tevel, right? You didn't take off treatments of masters, that's tevel. It's a chiv misav de shemai, very severe punishment. Belos maisa rishon, the maisa that you gave to the Levi, shalo nitla truma. So the Levi hasn't yet taken his truma off of the maisa rishon, and that would be tevel. Again, a very Iser Chamur. So the Iser of Muktz is going to apply over here. And Tosis later on is going to ask, we have a principle called Tevel Muchan Hu Eitzel Shabbos. That Tevel is not really Muktz, because even though you're not allowed to be Mafrish, Trumas and Maestros on Shabbos, that's a Gzeira the Rabbon, but nevertheless, if he went ahead and he was Mafrish, then it's Heter Gomur. So why didn't the Mishnah allow, you know, if need be, to move these boxes that have Maaser Sheni in it? Or, in that case, of Tevel that we mentioned before? So Tosus is going to say that Sugya Tevel, Muchanu Eitzel Shabbos, which is on Daf Mem Gimel, in the name of Yosef, that's only as far as the Iser Bitul Klimei Chano. But it doesn't remove an Iser Mukta. Then we go on to Hegdesh Matsasheni, Hegdesh Aloniftu, so that's for sure also, that's Mukta. For law it's Aluf. And Luf is a kind of Luf is a kind of kidneyos. So I'm not sure if we know exactly what luf is. It's a legume, it's inedible. Unless you cook it, you can't even feed it to birds or to animals. And even the goats wouldn't eat it. Belos achardol, we're talking about mustard. And mustard, at least in its natural state, without grinding it, is not edible, and we're not allowed to grind things, so therefore mustard is muktz in its natural state. And in Mavshim Gamliel, matir biluf, mivneshu machal orvim. You should actually feed luf to a bird. Which bird? A raven. Okay, I don't know if he has his own pet ravens. It seems here, Memches, that actually Yisrael b'nei Malachim, so I guess the wealthy people, Yeshlem legadol orvim, they actually breed ravens. Maybe it's ornamental, maybe it's l'shem schok. They play some sort of entertainment with them. So if Shimon Gamliel says that it's not mukta, Tanakama maybe would say, well, if you're one of these ashirim, then it has a purpose, and you feed, you know, you take the luf and you feed your ravens, but if you're a common folk, then it's mukta. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's enough that if it's royal ashirim, then it's Roila, and it's not Mukta for Aniyah. The Mishnah continues, Chavile Kash v'chavile eitzim. So we mentioned that kash is kind of like stubble, and eitzim are bundles of twigs. V'chavile zrodim, these are reeds. Min kanim shekotzim osam k'shem rachim. In other words, they are soft, or shall we say tender. And ochlim osam, we could eat them. So therefore it's not muktzavim. His kinum lamach behema, if he designated it only for eating animals, then with that machshava, Erev Shabbos, that he designated for animals, metalton osam, it removes the status of muktza. So again, all these kinds of kanim and so forth and so on, chavili kash, chavili etzim, chavili zrodin, they should have been mukta, but the Mishnah is giving us a way out, and that is on Erev Shabbos with a machshava to designate them for Michael Behema, then metalton. So v'imlav ein metalton. If he didn't designate him for machshava on Erev Shabbos, then these are mukta. Now, usually, what do you do with chavile kash, etc.? You use it for fuel, and we don't fuel on Shabbos. Hence, this Mishnah would not apply to Yontif. Hashta chamesh mefan and arba mibay. The Gemara wants to know, why did the Mishnah have to say four boxes and five boxes? If you're allowed to sweat it out and the tircha for five boxes, then it goes without saying four boxes. So why the Mishnah have to mention four boxes? Should just send the chiddush of chamesh kupos, even five. Amar Rav Chisda, arba mei chamesh. What the Mishnah really means is that if you have five boxes in your storage house, you're allowed to take out four boxes for the guests, but not all five. And the reason for this is because of gumos that we mentioned before. Once you empty out your storage place and you have the ground level, very often there are holes in the ground, crevices and so forth, and you might be tempted inadvertently to flatten the ground. And flattening the ground would be equivalent to meleches bone. And in order to avoid any chashon violation, meleches bone, we told him don't expose the bottom of your by being mafanda the otsa legamri. Now there's an issue here about the girsa. I think that we'll leave out this girsa and just read it like this, that chamesh mi otzer gadol. In other words, if he has many boxes in his storage place, then the maximum, the ceiling that he's allowed to remove is five. So that's not an issue of gumos, because again, even after he wants to take out the sixth box, he's not going to expose to gumos because he's got plenty of boxes there. But here we're dealing with tircha, and the maximum ceiling of tircha is to remove five boxes. That's the opinion of Rav Chisda. We'll soon see a dissenting opinion. Umay. Now let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Avolo es ha'otzar. Now, if we're saying that lo es ha'otzar means you can't clean out everything from the otzar, I mean, that we know from the word chamesh, that, or arba, that you're only allowed up to a certain number to make sure that you don't clean out the entire storage. So what's the chiddush here in Avalois HaOtzar? Shlo Yaschil bi Otzar Tchila. According to Rav Chisda, these words are telling us that on Shabbos he's not allowed to begin the process of emptying out his storage house. If he hasn't taken out anything from his Otzar before Shabbos, then he's not allowed to empty out his oats on Shabbos. Umani Rabbi Yehudahi, the Islay Mukta. According to Rav Chisda, our Mishnah here reflects the Shita Rabbi Yehuda of Mukta. And therefore, in the case of Tvua, if he hasn't yet begun to take out his Tvua from the Otsar and begin to feed it to the members of his household or to feed it to his animals, then we have a serious problem of muksa. And now we're requiring, according to Rav Yehuda Shita Muktza, that he actively guarantee that he'll be able to enjoy the benefits of this. He's already begun on Erev Shabbos to enjoy the benefits of these kupos, their contents. He's already eating away, he's already feeding his animals. And if you accept Rav Yehuda Shita, then if in the absence of having begun the process of Pinuya Otzer, then we're going to have to introduce Muktzah into the equation. The only way you could really demonstrate that you have designated these kupos for your own eating purposes is to begin on Erev Shabbos with the act of Pinuy. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says that the Lashon of the Mishnah, Arba v'chamisha, kida amri inshi, it really just is the way people generally speak. You know, when they want to get to a high number, they start with a smaller number. It could be four or five. But vi boyafil tu v'namim fanan. It's the opinion of Shmuel that you're allowed to take out on Shabbos even more, if there's a need for it. So if you go beyond the number five, because when the Mishnah says four or five, It's lav dafka. So in our Mishnah, when it says first four and then it says five, the din would be applicable and the heter would be applicable even more than five. Umay, but now according to Shmuel, let's go back to the Mishnah that says Avo lo es ha-otzar. What does that mean? Shelo yigmar kulo. That he's not allowed to completely empty out the otzar. He has to leave something in the otzar, some food. And why is that? Dilma osi lashvuye gumos. If he would clear out entirely the storage house, he's left with bare ground, then we're afraid that he might inadvertently flatten out the ground, violate melechus bonav, alaskule maskil. But he's allowed to begin, according to Shmuel, emptying out the otzar on Shabbos, even though he hasn't begun on Erev Shabbos, which would mean designation. Umani, who is the Mishnah holding like? Rav Shimon either less lay mukta. Rav Shimon doesn't require that you go around to every single thing and designate it, or start being mafana on Erev Shabbos. No. According to Rav Shimon, mukta doesn't apply in the sense that you don't require an active hachana. If you have something that's roy, it has a purpose, it's edible, etc., etc., then it's not muktzah. And therefore, aschule maschil, you can even begin to be mafana the otzah. So we have here a double machlokas between Rav Chisda and Shmuel, a twofold machlokas. First of all, what's the ceiling? What's the cap? How many kupos are you allowed to take out? There's an issue of tircha. And here we have Rav Chisda saying that the max is five kupos. And Shmuel says no. You can go way beyond five kupos if you need it. Of course, they both agree that there is a cap, and that cap is to make sure that you guarantee that you leave something in the altar, otherwise it's a problem of mashvi gumos. Now, there's another machlokas, and that is, do you have, in order to be matir tiltul in these cases of the food that was put away in the otzar, etc., do you actually have to start that process on Erev Shabbos? And here's where we have a machlokas, the second machlokas between Rav Chisda and Shmuel. Rav Chisda says, Shelo yaskel b'otza tchila. And you're not allowed to start the process of pinui on Shabbos itself. You have to actively be mafana something before Shabbos in order to remove the isur tiltul. However, according to Shmuel, aschule maschi, you're even allowed to begin the process of being mafana the otzer, and he did not lift up a finger on Erev Shabbos. And the Gemara explains that the machlokas between Rav Chisda and Shmuel in terms of how to interpret our Mishnah is whether or not we're going like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Shimon. We'll just read this footnote here. Shmuel cholik b'zeh al Rav Chisda u'maminis Mishnah senu kishitas Rabbi Shimon shematir muktzo b'yofen shalo hischil. Lee told me out to Karim Shabbos, Kevin Shateven Vatru of Ruyim Lamachal Behemo. The Gam Shalo Osama Maisa, Sheyitcha Osam Ilishtamish Bahem. So the only time that Rabbi Shimon would agree that something that could be used and has a function of food that could be eaten for fed to an animal is Muktz, is only if he was Dochabi or dying. That's going to be the case of Grogos Fitzimukim. But here we're not talking about Grogos Vitzimukim, and if you assume that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Shimon, then even if he hasn't done a Maisa to start the process of Pinuya Otsa before Shabbos, nevertheless, he's allowed to be Mufana on Shabbos, and he can be Mufana beyond, according to Rav Chisda, according to Shmuel, beyond the five kupos, as long as he leaves some kupos left, because of the problem of Lashvuye Gumos. Now, if you hold like Shmuel, so why does the Mishnah mention Arba V'Chamesh Kupos? And the answer is, that's just a matter of speaking. But Iboy Afilu Tuvanami Mefanin. If you need more than 4 or 5, so the Mishnah didn't mean to cap it at 4 or 5. Now, Lalocha, we really have a big machlokas poskim here. Some paskin like Rav Chisda. Now the Gemara is going to deal behemshech with Rav Chisda. Means we paskin like Rav Chisda. Some paskin like Shmuel, because Halocha is like Rav Shimon, and he interpreted that Mishnah to be like Rav Shimon. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, Ein maschilim bi otzer tchila. So this brisa seems to reflect the shita of Rav Chisda in our Mishnah, and that would mean that we're holding like Rabbi Yehuda. So you have to start the process of emptying out your storage place on Erev Shabbos. Avol oser bo shvil. But one thing you're allowed to do, you're allowed to use your foot to make a shvil kadesh yikaneis v'yetze. In other words, if he wants to move around these boxes in such a way they'll be able to have access to his otzar, so Gemara thinks that maybe when it says osav shvil, it means with his hands. So Gemara says osav shvil ha'amrei maschilin. You're telling me that it's muktzah if you didn't start before Shabbos. How can you move it with your hands? Hachi komar, but rather osav shvil baraglov. He could use his feet to move the boxes this way and that way and create a shvil. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a braisa, tavua tzvura. If he has tavua that is gathered together and it's not inside an otzar, it's not inside his storage house, but it's a sufa, which means that he's gathered it together, he wants to put it in his storage, he hasn't yet done so, but in his mind, he's not going to use it, he wants to store it. It's been Bisman Shehiskel B'Amir of Shabbos, if he began taking some of the tefuah out of this gathering before Shabbos, then Mutil stopping men of Shabbos, then it's not Muktzah, he can feed it to his animal on Shabbos in Lav. But if he didn't do anything before Shabbos and it's gathered together in such a way that he has decided to place it into his storage house, also the stopping men of Shabbos, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Now this makes no sense because Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that there is no mukta. And Rabbi Acha mat here. So the Gemara says, Klapi lai, it should be the opposite. In other words, if there's anyone who would allow you to be mistopic men, or even if you haven't done any haschol on Erev Shabbos, it's got to be Rav Shimon. So why would Rav Shimon be machmir ala ema? You have to change the language of the braisa and switch around the shitos. It should say divrei Rabbi Acha, Rav Shimon matir. Rav Acha is the one who's machmir like Rabbi Yehuda in Muktza. Tana, we learned in a brisa, kama shir tvua tzvura. When Rav Acha says you have a problem, if you haven't started on Erev Shabbos with tvua tzvura, it's Muktza. What is the amount that would constitute Muktza? And the Gemara answers lesech. If it's already a volume of a lesech, which is a half a kur, which is 15 soyin, less than that, it's not considered hukta liotzer, and therefore he could be metaltled even if he didn't start taking it out before Shabbos. Boy minei Rav Nechumi bar Zechariah me Abaye, a question here, shir tvura tzvura bakama, amalei, hari amru shir tvura tzvura lesech. So then if he, as we said before, he's piled up this grain for the amount of a lesach, then it's already considered mukta according to this particular shita. Ibailahu, the Gemara has a suffix, hani arba v'chamesh kupos dekaomar. The Mishnah allows emptying out four or five boxes. And now we're going to assume, like Rav Chizda, that means maximum of four or five, is be arba v'chamesh kupos in tfei lo. Should we assume that the tircha is to be determined by the amount of time and the effort you're going to have to go back and forth to move the boxes around? And if you have four or five, so your halicha will be a tircha of four or five halichos, each one for a separate box, but tfei lo. But if you, let's say, divvy up the same content into smaller boxes, you would not be allowed to move more than four or five boxes. That remains the cap, because the halicha is a tircha. Even though you'd have diminished your tircha by dividing it up into a larger amount of smaller boxes, because they would be each lighter. Alma lemeute be luchi adif. Well, our goal is to minimize the halicha back and forth, back and forth. Odilma lemeute masui adif. It's better to divvy up the various kupos that are very heavy into smaller kupos that are lighter, even if it means you'll have to go in and out more, but the main thing is lamait, to reduce the masui, the weight that you have to carry. Now, some Rishonim want to work this out even according to Shmuel, even though Shmuel said that you're allowed to go beyond four or five, but nevertheless, if you have these two options, which one would be preferable? If, on the other hand, we're going with Rav Chizda, then the Gemara is asking a much more fundamental question about what's Osir and what's Mutter. And according to Rav Chizda, when Rav Chizda caps it off at four or five, he's referring not to boxes, but to the equivalent weight that the larger boxes could contain. And that's the maximum in terms of volume. However, he can take it out in smaller amounts with increasing his halicha in smaller kalim, going back and forth, even if it's beyond four or five, as long as he stays within the maximum of tircha of the equivalent volume of four or five larger boxes. Tashma, we have now two brisos that seem to contradict each other, and maybe if we resolve those brisos, we'll have an answer to this iboilu. Tani chada, one brisa says, mefana nafilu arba v'chamesh kupos, Shalkade shemen v'shalkade yayin, v'tanya idoch bi eser u'b'chamesh esrei. So one brisa seems to assume that the cap, the maximum amount of boxes you're allowed to take out of the otzer, if you need to do so, is four or five. And the example given in this brisa is kade shemen, kade yayin. And that's going to be the max. But the second brisa says, no, even eser v'chamesh. V'chamesh esrei, even 10 or 15. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? My love, b'hokam ifli. Maybe the machlokis is how to interpret our mission of four or five boxes. Marasov, according to the first brisa, miute behilucha adiv, we're only allowed to move four or five boxes, go in and out four or five times, because the ikar is to diminish and limit the amount of times that you have to walk in and out and carry and schlep. But Marasov, the second brisa, reflects the opinion mute b'masu yadiv, and therefore we're going to be matir 10 boxes, 15 boxes, as long as they're smaller boxes. And although it'll mean increasing the alicha, but nevertheless it makes life easier for you because there's less of a masu. So basically, the machlok shin, these two brises are the two tzadim in the original suffix of the Gemara. Lo, the Gemara says the kuli alma. Both prices agree, mu'ute behi lucha adif, which would mean that the maximum times you have to go in and out, the maximum number of boxes you're allowed to take out of the otzer is five, and that's it. Umi savris, but when you learn the second price and it says b'yeser v'chameshisre, is it referring a kupos kai? Maybe it's not even referring to kupos, because the maximum number of kupos that, even according to the second price, you're allowed to take out is five. But when it says 15, it's akadim koi. We're talking about kadim. So he has 14 or 15 kadim, and he's going to place them inside four or five kupos, and this is going to limit the amount of halicha to four or five. And the Gemara is offering a reconciliation of these two brises. There's no machlokes. Even if you assume that both brises hold that hilucho adif, and the maximum is four or five in and out, but although the brisa in the original form, the first brisa says arba v'chamesh kupos, that's, he's not counting the number of jugs. And that's a case the mishtakli chad b'chad b'kupa achas. In other words, he could take everything that he has to take out in one kupa. So he takes these small kadim, these little jugs, and he puts them into five kupos, and that's fine. And if, for example, he has kadim gedolim, and those kadim gedolim number four or five, then he'll take out the kadim gedolim one by one, four times, five times, going in and out, and that's what he's going to carry in these larger jugs. The second brisa, so when it's talking about 14 or 15, that's talking about smaller size kadim, jugs of a smaller size, and now the mishtakli trei trei. You could take two kadim and put them both into one kupa. So at the end, what you're going to have is five kupos, and that's going to be the maximum, even according to the second brisa. But you're going to have 10 or 15 kadim. Why? Because these are smaller kadim that can fit inside the larger kupos. Now, when he mentions 15 in the second brisa, that's referring to mishtakle tlosa tlosa. He could take, let's say, maybe three kadim in each kupa. So if he has five kupos times three, he's going to end up with 15 kadim. These are kadim that are produced in a place called Harpanaya, and they're smaller kadim. So therefore we can assume, according to this interpretation, that both brisos are going to max it out at four or five trips in and out. So the shear is not based on the weight or the masa, and therefore we don't see anything clear from this price to be poshet to safek, because we could theoretically interpret this price that everybody agrees that the max amount of pnia would be five times that you go in and out. The price is dealing with different scenarios in which you have your food or your tevin, whatever it is, you have it in smaller kupos, and the numbers change because these small kupas can be brought into, if they're smaller kupas, into larger boxes. But at the end of the day, it could be that there's only five boxes. So the Gemara rejects the proof from this price. It doesn't really come to any definite decision that everybody agrees that you know, it depends upon hiluch. That's a possibility. It's also a possibility that you could be memait b'masa and be marbe b'hiluch. The first price writes afilu arba v'chamesh kupos, is trying to teach me that you could be marbe even b'masa as far as long as you're being memait b'hiluch. So that's a possibility. Iboilu Gemara as a suffik hani arba v'chamesh dekomar afagav de islei orchim tuva odilma kolufia orchim. Are we talking about a cap of 4 or 5? That's the maximum tircha that we're going to allow because that's how many orchim you have. And given the number of orchim that you anticipate to join you on Shabbos, then that's a normal situation, and we always assume that 4 or 5 kupos would be enough. But what happens if he has a large number of orchim that he anticipates coming? He's invited a great number of guests. Can we then allow him to be mafana because this 4 or 5 is a number that is relative? You know, it's 4 or 5 for X number of orchim. Okay, whatever that X number is. But if you have Y number of orchim, which is that greater, then it's no longer 4 or 5. Now you have to reflect the increase in orchim with an increase in kupos that you're allowed to remove from the otzar. And the Gemara says in Timsalomar, the suffix grows thicker, so to speak, because even on the tzad that akol lefi ha'orchim, and you're allowed to be mefana if need be more than 4 or 5, if you have many, many guests, then I have another suffix for you. Chad gavra mefani lekulu, o dilma gavra gavra mipnei mefani lenafshe. These extra guests, are they going to contribute to the extra tircha? Meaning, should we say chad gavra that we're going to allow one person, let's call him the Baal HaBayis, he's inviting a large number of guests, he's going to personally involve in removing kupos, and we're talking about a large number of kupos to accommodate the large number of guests. So should we say, no, we don't want to allow for extra tircha. If there are extra people and we need more space, more guests have arrived, then let them take a part, you know, lend their shoulders, so to speak, to this extra tircha by personally getting involved in being mefana mokom. Toshma, we learned in a brisa, a statement of Rabbah. The Omar Rabbah, Omar Abchiyah Pamachas, Holach Rebbe Lemokom Echad. So we have a transmission in which Rebbe goes to a certain place for a mokom dochuk l'talmidim. He wanted to give a shir and there wasn't enough room for talmidim. Yotzel esoda. He goes out to the fields. Umotz esoda malea omrim. He sees that the field is full of bundles of grains. V'imer Rebbe kol asoda kula. He personally got involved in clearing out these grains, these bundles of grains, in order to make room for the Talmidim. So we see that it depends upon, as we said, the amount of Orchim, and if he has many Orchim, or in this case many Talmidim, he himself, the Baal HaBayis, can personally get involved in the extra tirch of going beyond 4 or 5. Like Rebbe, it seems that personally got involved in being Mefana all the Omrim. Again, as far as Melechas Omer, Ma'amer is concerned, we'll get back to that in a minute. But V'Rabbi Yosef Omer, another story which is almost identical, De'Rabbi Yoshia Pamachas, one time Rabbi Yoshia, Halach Rabbi Chia L'Mokom Echa, together with Rabbi Chia, they went to a place, Rav Mokom Dochuk L'Talmidim, Yotzel L'Sodah, Motzel L'Sodah V'Leah, Omerim V'Imer Rabbi Chia, Kol HaSodah Kul, Shema Mina Kol Lefi Ha'orchim. And it would seem also that it would be Chad Gavra. The Gemara is not sure that it's Chad Gavra. Dain ti boy le Chad Gavra. Mefani le lekulo dilma kol Gavra Gavra mefani le nafshe. Perhaps each one of these extra orchim or talmidim would have to lend a hand to be mafana the oath. So Toshma, it says v'yim a Rebbe, and it means that Rebbe himself went out to do the whole job single-handedly. Ulatamech, and according to your reason that you want to derive from Rebbe that he personally was mafana all the omrim, elatziva v'imer. The language here is Yotzel Sada, right? And it doesn't say Tziva V'Imer. Correct? So what did Rava said in the name Rav Chiya, a whole story about Rebbe, and we're now assuming that Rebbe personally was involved in clearing out the Omrim in order to make room for the Talmidim. Is that really so? Rebbe ben Anafshi Imer? That's a little bit of a pell. Why? So Rashi explains, Tosfos is going to have a slightly different perspective here, that the Gemara is now asking, based on the fact that Rebbe was the Nasi of the entire generation, would he have personally gotten involved in doing this, you know, this kind of work? It's not appropriate. Because Rebbe is the Nasi, ain't derech ha-Nasi b'kach. Now, according to some Sofer, Tosfos would say that Rebbe was mafana that which is normally allowed to be mafana, meaning up to 4 or 5. Whereas according to Rashi's pshat, Rebbe didn't get involved at all in the pina. Period. It was a Nasi, he can't do. So at this point, the Gemara is saying that we're not going to take the transmission of Rabbah about the story of Rebbe so literally to assume that Rebbe himself went out personally to be ma'amer all the bundles in the field, and therefore it could be that each one who had to find a space for himself would be mafana. So we don't know, and that remains an outstanding suffix. But the first suffix that we had about whether or not we cap it off at 5, even according to Rav Chizdu, says that, generally speaking, for Archim, we're not going to allow you more than 4 or 5. However, in this case, that we have more Archim, we're going to allow you to be Mefana even more than 4 or 5. As far as the second suffix is concerned, whether one person is Mefana for everybody or each one himself, that remains an outstanding question, and we don't have a final conclusion. Now, what about Meleches Ma'amer over here? Where did that get lost? So if you take a look in the notes over here, he quotes the Dvar Yehoshua, which is a sefer I think I might have even, but anyway, he says that Rebbe didn't gather all these Amrim into one central place. That would be a Meleches Ma'amer. But rather, he was ma'asef. He was ma'asef them, but placed them here and there and elsewhere, just in a way that there was enough open space for the talmidim to sit. But isuf gidulei karka b'makom gidulam le'makom echad. If you gather together bundles in the place where they grow to form one big bundle, that's a malach of ma'amer. Now, Mipnei Ha'orchim, we go back to the Mishnah that says, for the sake of Orchim, or for the sake of Bitul Beis HaMedrash, we permit this tircha of being Mefana 4 or 5 kupos. And the Gemara now goes off on an agadic tangent about this great mitzvah of Hachnosas Orchim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Gedola Hachnosas Orchim Kashkomas Beis HaMedrash. We have a great mitzvah of waking up in order to go study, in order to go learn Torah in a Beis HaMedrash. But we're now going to upgrade the status of Achnas Orchid to be equal in its significance to that of Hashkomas Beis HaMedrash. And we're going to derive this, says Rabbi Yochanan, from the fact that the Mishnah equates the two. In one breath, it says, "Mipnei Orchim, to Ketanim v'nei Arachim v'nei Bitul Beis HaMidrash, as if to equate them. Rav Dimi v'nadoi Omar, G'dol Achnas Sarchim even Yoser me'ashkomis Beis HaMidrash. The Ketanim v'nei Arachim, first it's listed v'nei Arachim v'hadar, and secondly v'nei Bitul Beis HaMidrash. That indicates that Arachim is even greater than Bitul Beis HaMidrash. Now, we could say that they are shkulim, they're equal. The Tana had to be makdim one over the other. Has Rav Dimi know from the fact that, you know, maybe it was ini, mini, mini, mo, and the Mishnah started with achnasas orchim. Does that prove necessarily it's great? Maybe they're equal. So the answer is that the Tana should not have written them twice. It says mipnei, and then it says mipnei. It could have written mipnei achnasas orchim. The fact that he separated them with the word mipnei indicates that one is greater than the other, and the one that's listed first is greater than the second one. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, holds that the Mishnah mentions achnasas orchim simply because it's more common that they should have so many guests that they need space for the guests. They're going to have to go to the otzer. You know, in the case of Beis Medrash, it would be logical to assume that they took into consideration initially the number of Talmidim that joined the Limud and the space that's available. Now, what do we do with the Mishnah at the beginning of Peah that says Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? You know, it seems like you put all the mitzvahs on one side and Talmud Torah on the other side. So how do we get the Haknas Orchim all the way up there? So it could be that when it says Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, that's true. Our Gemara is talking about the Maila of Limud Basifas Chacham in Beis HaMedrash, which means that we want to gather together a larger group to learn together at one time, because that adds and enhances the Beis Medrash Ein Beis Medrash B'lo Chidush. So Rabbi Yochanan says that this extra Maila of gathering together people, I mean, they could have learned each one separately, but we gathered together into a group, that's an upgrade that is equal to the Maila of Achnasas Orchim, where Rav Dimi holds that Achnasas Orchim is even greater than that extra Maila of Asifas Chachamim v'Beis HaMedrash. The Chafetz Chaim Zichron Levrach, in his great work Avas Chesed, writes that even though Achnasas Orchim has the status of all mitzvahs, nevertheless, we have a rule called Bevatlin Talmud Torah for Achnasas Orchim. And that means the following: Be'ofen she'efshal la'sosar al yedei acherim. I have no one else to be machnas the Orchim. It's either me or bust. And I'm learning. So he says, normally you might say, well, he's learning, and the rule is that you have to be mevatel Talmud Torah for another mitzvah, but that only applies if the mitzvah cannot be fulfilled by someone else. So let's say, for example, he has other people in the house who can be mekabel the Orchim, then he should not be mevatel Talmud Torah for them. But if there's no one around to be mekabel the Orchim, he should be mekabel the Orchim. Oh, shalifni lefi kvoda orchim. Sometimes, given the type of people that they are, they're very special people, and they're coming around, it's not right. It's below their covet and dignity to send a shliach. He should therefore do it as the Baal Bais himself personally. Okay, fine. So there are situations in which, even if you're learning, you would stop your learning for the sake of Achnasas Orchim, even if there are other people who could do it, but that's not going to really do the job. All right, you the Marav. G'dol Achnasas Orchim mikabolas pnei Shechina. I'm going to prove to you from Parshin Vayera that Achnasas Orchim is even greater than Kabolas pnei Shechina, the Chsiv. Here it was the third day after his Mila, and the Shechina is visiting Avraham Avinu, and yet the Pasuk says, Vayomer Ado. And then it says, Noi, im no matzasi chein beinecha, al don't tavor, me alav decha. So Avraham Avinu is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you wait around? Because I don't want to be machnas orchim. So the fact that Avraham Avinu told the Shechina to wait around so that he, Avraham, would be free to be machnas orchim, we see that machnas orchim is even greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. It could be, if you want to be argumentative, that Avraham Avinu was only asking for permission. In and of itself, Kabbalas Pnei Shechina is more important than Achnasas Orchim. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to him, you know what? This is a mitzvah of Kabbalas Pnei Shechina that you don't have to fulfill right this minute. Take your time. Go break, take a break. And be Mekayim, the great mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. And then come back and we'll continue with the Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. Om Rav Elazar, Bo Re'eh Shalok Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Bas Avidam Midas Bas Avidam Ein Katon Yochel Lomer LeGodol Hamtein Ad She'Avo Etzlecha. You know, it would be an insult if a smaller person would say to a greater person, you know, wait for me. But Ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is such an anvenuso, He has such humility. Therefore Ksiv Vayomer Ato. Again, Noyim Nomet Sosi Chem Beinecha Al Na Tavor Mi'al Avdecha. Avraham Avinu is allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to wait around, so to speak, and I don't want to use the word hang in there, because maybe that's not an appropriate phrase, you know, to describe the Shechina. He writes in the note in the name of the Ol Yaakov, which is the Dubna Magid, Tamad Avinei Shemara Hanavuah in Yona Shal Yidei Dveikus Adam Iboro HaKadosh Baruch Magal Einov Umar Lo Asmara Hanavuah Ubikesh Avrom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't saying to him Lahamtin, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Moli Haaretz Kvodo Hu Motzi B'chol Mokom. So wherever Avram is, God is there. El Bakasha. So what is God, what is Avram Avinu asking from Hashem? Hoysa al Atzmo. She has Reu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalo Yinotek Mitvei Kuso, V'yod Torah Chachnosa Sorchim. Wow. It's a whole new pshat to the Dubna Magid. Avram Avinu wanted to have this awareness of God, this connection to the Shekhinah, even as he was out there being Torah for the Orchim, that Vekus should continue, that man could live on two levels of consciousness. There's latent awareness and there's acute awareness. On acute awareness level, he's involved in Achnosis Orchim, but on a deeper level, in terms of latent awareness, he still is in a state of Vekus. Umachmas came. Eino kamidas bosavadom shabosavadom avakish yam tine ulo eino der kovich harea godol omed all of the mamtim aval itza kodesh broch eino bakosh klapi kodesh broch li akvo. We're not holding, Avram is not holding back God, he's moli kolorets kvodo elo klapi odom amavakish yizkel yishar bedvekuso v'eino pogea b'chvod hamavukash. That's the greatness of a kodesh broch. He's so omnipresent and he's so infinite that Avram could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to still connect to him, meaning to Avram, and have that Tveikus relationship continue despite the fact that in acute sense Avram is involved in Achnosas Orch, and that's the great meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he can take care of everything that he has to take care of in the entire universe, but at the same time still have this dvekus intimate relationship with Avram. Om Rav Yehuda Bar Shilom Rav Yasi Om Rav Yochanan Shisha Dvarim Odom Ochel Peros Sehem V'yolam Azeva Keren Kayim Esolom Abov Yelu Hinach Nosas Orchim U'Bikur Cholim V'Iyun Tfila Hashkom Espeis HaMidrash HaMagadol Bonav L'Tamator V'Adon Eschaver L'Kav S'chus. Now, this is a whole new interpretation of something that we have in a Mishnah in Peah. Because here, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, we have a new list of those things where you eat the peros here in this world. But the keren, the basic reward, is left for you and preserved for you for Olam Haba. On the list is Achnasas Orchim. That's first on the list, and that's why it's quoted here in this Gemara. But any more asked about Anan Tanan, we have a mission at the beginning of Pei. We're very familiar with this. We recite it daily. Eilu Dvarim Shadam Osel Sam V'Yochel Perasim Bolam Hazeh V'Akeren Keyem Solom Abov Eilu Kibud Ava Eim U'Gmilus Chasodim V'Ava Shalom Ve'Nonam L'Chavero V'Talmud Torah Keneged Kulo. So although there is some overlap here, because Rabbi Yochanan does mention Beis Medrash, Ashkomas Beis HaMedrash, or Amagal Obonav L'Talmud Torah, so that could fit into the Mishnah Peah of Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, but what he has on this list is Hachnasas Orchim, he's got Bikur Cholim, he's got Iyun Tefillah. I mean, this is something that's foreign to the Mishnah Peah. The Mishnah Peah seems to assume that the list exhausts itself with these four categories. You have Kibbut Ava'im, Gbilus Chasodim, Avos Shalom, and Talmud Torah. Midi Achrini Lo. So Rabbi Yochanan has a whole list of things that go beyond the list in Peah. So here we turn to Daf Kufchav Zayin Amid Beis. Hani Nami, Gbilus Chasodim. According to the first answer, to reconcile Rabbi Yochanan with the Mishnah, the Mishnah in Peah mentions Gemilus Chasodim as one of the four, and these also, those additional categories of mitzvahs that find themselves in Rabbi Yochanan's list, they are all to be subsumed under Gemilus Chasodim. So Rabbi Yochanan is only fleshing out Gemilus Chasodim. Now here, we understand two out of the three. He added Hachnasus Orchim. He added Bikur Cholim. Those are clearly Gemilus Chasodim. But then he adds Iyun Tefillah. How does that fit into Gemilus Chasodim? Again, Hashkomas Beis HaMidrash Magal Obonav LeTorah, that's fine. That could fit into Talmud Torah. Even Adonis Chaver LeKav Zchus, that's an expanded scope of Gemilus Chasodim. But what about Iyun Tefillah? So I think we're going to have to say over here that Iyun Tefillah means that he has such Kavon and Tefillah that he's davening not only on behalf of himself, but on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, but on behalf of other individuals, maybe members of his household, or maybe sick people, and therefore that's also considered Gemilus Chasodim. Could be that Megadol Bonav L'Talmud Torah, that's also an expanded definition of Gemilus Chasodim. Not under Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, but he does what's ever necessary to raise his child for the love of Torah. Dan L'Kav Zchus is also included on the Gemilus Chasodim because he's going to say this man is a good man, he's an Adam Hagun, and I'm going to always judge him favorably, I'm going to help him as a result, I'm going to give him whatever siyua tmicha he needs, and this is all an extension of Gemilus Chasodim. Lishnach Rina, Gemara Osp is a different Lishna. Hani, the list of Rabbi Yochanan, Bahani Shaychi, that they're all included in the Mishnah. That Achnosis Orchim and Bikur Cholim included in Gemilus Chasodim, as we said earlier. Iyun Tefillah is included in an expanded definition of Gemilus Chasodim because of a pasuk in Mishlei, Gomel Nafsho Ish Chosed, Nefesh is Tefillah, as it says, by Chanav Eshpochas Nafshi Lifnei Hashem. And Ashkomas Beis HaMidrash and Gidul Banim L'Talmud Torah, that's the Talmud Torah that's mentioned in the Mishnah. Adonis Chaver L'Kav Zchus is included on the Havas Shalom, which is in the Mishnah. Because when a person assumes about another person that he certainly didn't sin, and that there were mitigating circumstances, or that he had in mind to do it for the sake of Tova, for goodness, that's going to increase Shalom Beinehem. So Rabbi Yochanan is coming to explain the Mishnah, and the six categories that he lists are included in the categories of the Mishnah. But he certainly is moda that even Kibbut Ava'im, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, is Ochel Peirosov, Bi'olam HaZeva, Karen Kayemislo, Li'olam HaBo. Even though he doesn't mention Kibbut Ava'im, but that's already mentioned in the Mishnah, and he doesn't feel compelled to reiterate that. He's only trying to expand that which is in the Mishnah, but that which is explicit in the Mishnah, he doesn't feel that he has to expand. Now, one question I want to leave with as we end the shiur for today, we're here on Daf Kufchav Zayin Amid Beis on the top of the Yom Tan Rabban, second line, is what's the Iker here, the Chiddush of both the Mishnah and Rabbi Yochanan for that matter? Is the Iker Chiddush that he gets Beherasayim Ba'olam Hazeh, or that the Keren is Kayemes Olam Abba? I'd like to suggest that the Iker Schar is the Keren Kayemis, right? That's the principle. What we have is an extra Schar, which is called Peros, and the Chiddush of this Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan following in the Mishnah, is that there are certain mitzvos where, without in any way detracting from the main primary reward, which is called Keren Kayemes, which is designated for Olam Haba, he will be able to enjoy the benefits of his mitzvah and be rewarded even in this world. And that's called Peruseyem Biolam Hazeh. What are the milas of these mitzvahs above and beyond other mitzvahs? So the Rambam writes in his Pirush HaMishnayos, the beginning of Peah, that when it comes to Bein Olam L'Chavero, the schar for mitzvahs Bein Olam L'Chavero, let's start with Bein Olam L'Mokom first. The schar of mitzvahs Bein Olam L'Mokom is totally, exclusively from A to Z. All the schar that he'll get is singularly designated for Olam Haba. But with mitzvahs Bein Olam L'Chavero, he's going to have a benefit from those mitzvahs even in this world. And the Ram writes, Lefi, Shekshem Shehugom El Chasodim La'acherim Gam Acherim Yinagu Kach V'yehena Af Mimashe Gomlim Imo Chesed. So that's a twist of the Rambam that others will reciprocate, and that's going to be your benefit in this world. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam Mipnei Shal Yidei Talmud Torah Yizkeh Ha'odim La'kol She'talmud Mevi Lidei Maisa. The Gemara Kedushin on Daf Mem explains this Mishnah that it lists those mitzvahs that ha'ose osam hu tov la'shamayim v'tov la'brios. Okay then, so we're going to stop here on the top of Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Beis.